And there's no reason for people to miss out. I want you to know. See, look at, listen to Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem." Well, Jesus said, verse 36, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." Now watch this. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." The heart of God, he wanted to gather his people together. But the tares caused people not to believe and to believe amiss. Now God told King Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. See, Asa won many. He won a great victory. He won a great victory when he counted on the Lord. When he was in covenant, he counted on the Lord and he trusted the Lord and he had victory. But he got to a point. He tried to get the pay the king of Syria to help him. And so the prophet came to him and said this. Let's see, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 1. "In the 36th year of King Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria," his enemy. I added that part, his enemy, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, sent captains of his armies, cities, Israel. Okay. Verse 9, I'm going to jump down. Verse 7, "And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah, said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians, the Lubims, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand." Now watch this part. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." See, sometimes people trust the Lord, then they change. But that wasn't the point I was trying to make. The point is verse 9. "The eyes of the Lord run to and from, throughout the whole earth." The Lord is looking for people to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And when he finds them, he'll give them his message. And they'll preach it. And God will bless them and all those that hear it. And miracles will happen. So when you see the miracles happening, why would you utter anything amiss against the miracles of God? If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you will not be forgiven. All these people that God raised up to be a blessing, we need to honor the people that God is honoring. When you see God showing himself strong in somebody's life, don't join in and talk against it like the foolish do. It's foolish to do that. God, the heart of God, this is how he was in Genesis 1, in Genesis 2, in Genesis 3. After man sinned, he still talked about redemption for him. He had to do judgment because he's God, but he also did redemption. He made a covenant of redemption for us. And he's keeping his word. And he's been keeping his word ever since. And the Lord stir up tares to go out and mess up things. It's very important that we take the things of God very, very seriously. Now, that's just the heart of God. And he wants to do great things in our lives. Jesus said, if you don't gather with me, you scatter. Matthew 12:30. See, God has a protocol. He knows what he's doing. And the Lord loves his people. Matthew 12:30. This is Jesus talking. He said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Some people try, they were trying to cast out demons. They weren't with Jesus, but they took it upon themselves to cast out the demons. And his apostles, his disciples tried to stop him. Jesus said, no, don't stop him. he that's not against me is with me. You know, same thing. But he that don't gather, he that is not with me is against me. They saw, anytime you see Jesus doing something, all you got to do is catch on. I've seen so many Christians, some, they hear the word, receive the word, and they do the word, and they have miracles in their lives. And I'm one of them. I did what I saw others do. The message that Kenneth Hagin taught, the books that I eventually did buy, and the tapes that I did hear, I listened. And I had miracles happen in my life. And so did a lot of others. And because, you know, we have success when we listen. Now, if you want people to listen to you, listen to those who God is using. I do these broadcasts at God's order. The Lord told me many years ago in 1990 that the biggest problem in this church is that his people don't follow him. They're trying to do his will without his help, without his guidance. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I found that to be very true. But if you build with him, you won't scatter. You will bear fruit. We don't bear branches. Branches are of fellow believers. We bear fruit. We live the life. And they see it. They hear the anointed voice that God utters through our mouth. They see the life we live, the love we live, the way we heal, the way we give. They see us bear fruit. We go about doing good. They see us bear fruit. And then they want it too. And then we preach the anointing that we have breaks all the yokes. But for that process to continue, you have to be in agreement. In covenant agreement. So, the Lord is moving throughout the earth to and fro, seeking those that whose heart is perfect toward him. That doesn't mean you have to be perfect in the sense of you do everything perfect and you say everything perfect. You're always appropriate. No, it's when you want to know him. When you're yielded to the Lord to the point that He can help you make adjustments. And all your habit system will heal over time. I want to read this thing about one more time about how the will works. See, he said, I was so curious. The will of man puzzled me so bad. I mean, it puzzled me so much. I said, it's very interesting how people think. You think they all love the ways of God and the knowledge of God, and then they go and some people hear the same message and they go do the worst stuff. They don't change. They don't listen. They don't get healed. They don't try to get healed. They don't try to prosper. When the message goes forth, you have to mix faith with it. receive it in your heart, allow it to grow roots in you. That's what a good-hearted person would do. And then speak it. And the word, when you speak the word in faith, the word is growing roots. Now listen to this part. I was fascinated about the will of man, how people could hear and not hear, how they could see and not see. And then there were those who saw and they did see. And then there were those who heard and they did hear. They received and they brought forth fruit. And then the one next to them, in between us both, they wouldn't do it. He said, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. The will can be chosen and developed, encouraged and discouraged. Purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. When you make that choice to do it God's way, I've seen people become enthused about what they were learning from great men and women of God. They were enthused, and they stayed enthused. I remember a guy, his son was short, and he played football. He was kind of stocky, but he was very short and smaller than the other guys. But he went to Purdue in faith and listened. He grew up listening to Frank Matchin. And when he got football age, when he got on the line, he didn't care how big them guys was. And his dad told me, he said, I would have been afraid to get on the line like that. But he was raised hearing the word, he wasn't afraid. And then he came off the line and blocked those guys, no matter how what their size was, big, small, muscular, whatever. He held his own because he heard the word. He had the attitude of faith. See, when you have that attitude of faith, when you receive what the word, then you choose to do things based on the faith. And guess what happens after that? Your will forms after whatever it is you're choosing. If you choose to be weak, your will will form in weakness. If you choose to allow yourself to be sinful, your will will be to allow sin in your life. And you'll become leavened and hardened. Now you don't want your heart to get set, like the Lord told me a few weeks ago. When people's hearts get set in evil, he can't help them anymore. You don't want that to happen. But the will can be chosen. See, anything you take to the Lord in prayer, say, Lord, I don't like how I'm doing this. I seem like I don't have any strength to change it, but help me do it. Now God will get down to business with you. You getting down to business with God when you put him first. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things you want will be added. All of them. Because your covenant is where we should be living. The will can be chosen and developed, encouraged and discouraged. Babies, when they die, they're surrounded by the love of the angels. And there's no reason to choose wickedness after you've been introduced into love. And then you learn the reasoning of love. And then you act on it, and then your will forms after that, and you become dedicated. That's just the order of how it all works. But if you start playing with the world, you'll become leavened and hardened against the love of God. He said, purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. I got this from God himself. I thank him for it. He said that the will is formed in the heart. So years ago, so this is the other part, and if you give me more, I'm going to share it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. All the false narratives that are out there, never let it slow you down, no matter who agrees with the false narratives. See it through. See things through. Hear God out. So keep him first and ask him to help you be covenant appropriate. And even if the closest people in your life agrees with the false narrative, love them anyway. It's your love that helps people come out of darkness. And live the light. Do not compromise. Don't be afraid of losing anybody. If you got to compromise to keep a friendship, relationship, marriage, or whatever, it's going to fail. Don't compromise. If you, because it's only when people compromise, it only gets worse. Remember, Nehemiah said that the people who married the foreign, the Gentiles, in the days of Nehemiah when he was building that wall, they had a national divorce because all the Jews, men and women who married the Gentiles, the children could speak the Gentile language but couldn't speak Hebrew. So that's what's going to happen to you if you compromise with anybody and they're wrong. Even good people, don't compromise with them either. Even admirable people, even great men and women of God, when God show it to you, stick with it, see it through. If they don't agree, just agree to disagree. You don't have to fight with them over it, accuse them over it, or fall out with them. But don't compromise, because the devil always win the compromise, not the people of God. That's an area we just don't win in. We don't win a compromise. You do it God's way. And he'll give you wisdom. If you're afraid your wife might leave or your husband, God will give you wisdom to deal with them. But don't compromise, whether they leave or stay. These are things that I decided I was going to do. I said, if I'm going to preach and do this, I'm going to do it precisely what God gave me. I'm not bending one way or the other. I'm going to stick with what God said. My pastor's that way. If he don't move, he don't change unless God tell him to. No matter what people want him to do, he'll wait until God tell him himself. But I learned when the Lord do speak, I adjust. I make adjustments. And if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. Hey, I was wrong right there. My friend Greg Holzer said, pastor I knew, a friend of mine, we used to clean the church together. He became a pastor. I love him. He said, if you sin and you're wrong, repent. Then you don't have to be wrong anymore. I love that guy. He taught me praise and worship. He taught me how, him and Elder Lewis taught me how to go in God's presence. Through praise and worship. I'll never forget them. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God.